Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays what they produce. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hey ho, let's go. Triple M,
welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
And it's lovely to have your company. Just 1 hour to share with you. We're going to catch up with Josh Mansour very shortly, of course, part of that winning side from the Panthers last night. Nathan Brown is with us as well. Brownie, we're talking coaches. I just want to briefly get to Dean Pay in a moment as well. But just back to your playing career. Now, we've spoken before about the disappointment, specifically the Melbourne Grand Final 1999. You've played in three. You played 93, 96 and 99 for the Dragons. 96, it was the horrible, was it Matthew Ridge's kickoff?
Yep.
That one. That hurt. In terms of a player and over the years, what are your memories of those three games?
In 93, it was my first year of first grade.
Yeah. You replaced Wayne Collins.
Yes. So I come on the field, I played, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. But I'd come down from McLean, and I was fortunate enough to play in a good junior side in McLean where most years we played in the grand final. And I just thought, this is the done thing. Like, I've played in grand finals up in the bush most of my life, and I'm down in the NRL my first year. And because in 92, I played in the under-23s grand final, the President's Cup one, which we lost 15-14. Bloody Josh White kicked the field goal. So I come off the bench. That was my first year there. Yep. So my second year, and I'm just thinking, this just must be what you just keep playing in grand finals. And then 94, we had a bad year, and I thought, it's actually just not what you do, is it? Yeah. So I've got a quick rude awakening. But my memories of all the grand finals are obviously the disappointment and heartbreak of losing, but the great run we had on the way to them as well, because generally we'd sort of come through the bottom half of the table or the lower end of the top eight, and in 96 and 99 in particular, you know, and the camaraderie and mateship you build along the way, and the fans and the excitement of it all, of the build up to grand final is great, you know. And obviously winning is the actual ultimate, isn't it? And you, unfortunately, there's only one. And then I went into coaching, and I went into the Jersey Flag, and we got beat in the grand final my first year coaching. Then when I went to Huddersfield, we lost the Challenge Cup final at Wembley. And my wife said, are you ever going to win? And then fortunately, St. Helens, we won. And I got to feel what that good feeling's like after it. Yeah, so but the runs towards it and the mateship you build along the way and your memories, you have great memories. But when you lose them, obviously, you have the heartbreak. And to lose three, you know, I'd give anything to have had one of them as a win, because the reality is when you win, you have reunions and you get to catch up and that, but you don't have reunions for losing ones, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, that the 92-93 Dragons playing against a great Brisbane side, obviously, and then Manly, that was a winnable game, as I said, and the Melbourne thing, well, we all know that's history. It should have happened. Should not have. Should have been a win for the Dragons. All right, and we're talking about coaches before, and we're talking about the Dragons. What about the coach in the other box on Monday? Will be the Bulldogs coach Dean Pay. All week, there's been the discussion, and I'll just play you James Hooper's, what he had to say about the pressure that was mounting on Dean Pay.
Dean Pay's future's been put on the radar this week, and there's been further meetings today between Lynn Anderson, Andrew Hill, who's the CEO, other people at the football department as well, and Dean Pay. And it's been outlined in no uncertain terms that Dean needs a strong performance from the team Monday, and that he's facing an uphill battle to retain his position.
There's Hoops there saying, now Dean Payer has said that there's been no direct communication to him saying, you know, you've got to win this game, how many games with this game or two or whatever it is, and all that talk about losing the dressing room before.
Absolutely. So but the thing is, there needs to be some kind of, if that is the case, there needs to be some kind of communication. But again, like we said with Paul McGregor, Dean Payer would know that if results aren't coming, he knows that he's under pressure, but he's had a pretty tough run. I mean, for most of the time that he's been there, Kieran Foran has been injured. And he's got a couple of young halves. He's been chopping and changing back end of last year, even the beginning of this year with his halves as well. So that's got to be tough. So I think, I mean, if the results aren't coming, he's going to be under pressure. But I feel like you need to give him some time to have the key players there. They've had a number of disruptions over the last 18 months, even dating back to Dylan Napa and that whole saga. So,
yeah, well, our very own Mark Guy, MG, and when he gets off the leash, MG, he speaks quite well and harshly. Have a listen.
Well, his star player, Kieran Foran, hasn't hardly played while he's been coach.
Mm-hmm.
Then last year he had the WhatsApp drama with Dylan Napa, one of his star recruits.
Mm-hmm.
And this year he's had the deregistration of arguably his best player, Corey Harawira-Naira. I want to see him have a year with the roster he wants. How about the board backing him then? If they don't win on Monday, who are they going to bring in to replace him? Who's going to take that job when that's the board saying, oh, win or else, and they're the ones who are recruiting these blokes? Come on. Come on, please. That's insulting of a legend of our game.
There's MG.
Come on.
Yeah, come on. I love it.
Just to give everyone the difficulty that Dino's been facing with playing with rookie halves.
Yep.
I think we'd all agree Trent Robinson's one of our premier coaches in the game, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's been in 3 grand finals, top 4 every year. The only bad year he had at the Roosters where they finished second last to the Knights, and we were obviously a bad footy team at that stage, is Piercy got stood down. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck had left the club late, and James Maloney had gone to Cronulla. So Robbo had Latrell Mitchell as a 18, 19-year-old fullback. He had Jackson Hastings and young Nick Arima, who's been put out of the game, who were considered two of the better young players in the game, both Australian schoolboys. And Robbo had to persevere with them for a long time. And young halves, we saw Penrith last week. If Mitchell Pearce stayed on the field last week, Newcastle would have put 30 on Penrith.
Yeah.
But the young halves had all that possession. Terrific young players, I take it, couldn't get the business done. Young halves in tight situations just get it wrong a lot. It's not because they're not good players. It's sometimes because they're not ready or they're not capable with another young player. You look at the Roosters now with Luke Keary, and you look at young Flanagan. Young Flanagan is a talented young player. If you put young Flanagan with a rookie half, life will be harder, much, much more difficult for him and his coach. Where at the moment, he's got a very basic role he's doing. Rob, I would have him sort of in a little bit of pigeonholed into, we just need you to do this and this. Luke Keary and the Ted and these blokes, they'll look after the rest for you. It is an extremely hard job coaching young halves in the heat of the battle in the NRL. And it's, as I said, you know, one of our premier coaches in Trent Robinson, the only time he's had a difficult time at the Roosters is when he had a rookie in all the key positions, and you're nearly in an unwinnable situation. In tight games, you just don't get over the line.
And you need to kind of look at, and MG touched on a couple of the valid points there, and there was also the way that Dino came into that. You know, Dez had just sort of walked out. They had, you know, some issues with salary cap, and he would say there were so many issues already at that club when he took the reins that it was always going to be a couple of seasons of, there's the word rebuild, and also about, you know, getting the best out of the group. And it, could you say, and even, you know, last week, you know, they were, what, it was only 12-0 at halftime against a pretty good Manly side that I think are going to go on and really challenge for the title this year. And given what Brownie just spoke about then, yeah, like really inexperienced halves and just hasn't been able to settle. And I think he'll be a little bit disappointed, Dino, in some of the growth of some of those guys in those key positions, because they have showed some promise. Maybe it's because Kieran hasn't spent enough time with them on the field, or maybe they're just not developing at the rate that he needs them to. But, you know, the players seem to want to play for Dino. Like some of the efforts at the back end of last year when they made that run, they almost made the finals. I think they were a win away from the finals last year with a roster that didn't warrant being in the finals. Now, they started the season pretty well this year. I think they got beat by 6 points by Parramatta, who had been red hot all year. And then they went out in the second game and just got pipped by another, I can't remember who the club was, but by someone else. And those efforts, well, they weren't awful. There were certainly a lot of things that they needed to work on. And then you put in the fact that, you know, Kieran got hurt playing for his country at the back end of last season, and a lot of their hopes fall around the experience that he brings to that young group. So the board might be looking at Dino as you know, his job's on the line based on the next couple of weeks. But I think the players are buying into what Dino's trying to get. I know the fans. I think the Bulldogs see through it. I think they like having Dino in charge of their side, and I don't think he's been doing a bad job at all.
Well, just an example of players buying into what Dean Pay's doing. Everyone sort of was thinking, well, why has Dallin chosen to go to the Bulldogs and not the Eels when the Eels basically had him over the line last year and everyone thought you've got far more chance of winning a premiership at the Eels. But he spoke a lot about what Dean Pay sold to him. And that was a big part of the reason, the culture of the club and Dean Pay. And you're attracting players like, you're able to attract a player like Dallin. And then you mentioned it with Newcastle. As soon as you get someone like Aiden Guerra, Mitchell Pearce comes, David Clemmer. So if you're attracting quality players based on a relationship with a coach, then surely he can then hopefully go and spread that message. And over the next year or so, if they give him a chance, he can start to get the roster that he wants and they're given a proper shot.
You can always tell if a club's got a real clear plan of where they're heading. You know, the general manager of football, obviously they play a very important role, or your head of recruitment. But when they, you'll see some, not only in rugby league, but in the sporting world, in the team sport, you'll see a club go all out to sign a certain type of player. And then when they miss that player, they then do a knee-jerk reaction and go and throw a heap of money at someone who's a total different style of player. And that tells you that their plan's not great. And you know, if you actually put a really good plan in place, which I'm sure Dino has, you'll get to see over the next sort of 18 months, because apparently Canterbury's got a lot of money to spend, you know. And spending that money wisely will help Canterbury on the way to recovery where they want to be. Spend it wrong and Canterbury are where they are for a long, long time again.
But so, you see some of the see some of the players that are sort of coming out into those discussions, exactly what Browning said, the Batemans. Like, he'd be a good guy. You said you tried to buy him a couple of times. I mean, the names that they seem to be offering up when they're talking about recruitment seem to be the right ones.
Yeah, and the other thing is, a lot of people will say, oh, you pay way too much money for this person, or someone's paid way too much money. What a player might be worth to Canterbury, he's not worth that to the Dragons, or vice versa, you know, because you don't play overs if the player goes to your club and he plays really well and he changes the way your club's perceived. So a lot of people have always got an opinion on he's got way too much money. It's like, how much does person X pay for a house or a racehorse? Or it's not always the demand. It's what you need. And, you know, if Canterbury is seen as needing John Bateman and he's going to change that club, if that's how they feel, John Bateman is worth $800,000. But to Canberra Raiders, he's not, because Ricky got him at price X and he's doing great for him. But Ricky's also they've got a lot of recruits, a lot of things right. Ricky has had in the past 18 months, 3-4 years. Ricky's got so much right that John Bateman now to Canberra Raiders, he's an important player.
Yeah.
But he's not worth that money. But to Canterbury or the Knights or whoever, he might be worth that. And if he changes the way your team plays, he's not getting paid overs. He's getting what he's doing for your organisation.
It's a massive jigsaw, isn't it, that whole recruitment thing?
It's not easy. And a lot of people, as I said, a lot of people give a lot of opinions about it without actually knowing what's going on behind the scenes. And I look at Andrew McCulloch now, for example, and like, it appears that wasn't a great decision to let him leave the organisation, because of obviously Jake Turpin appears to be the only hooker in the club that can hold his gloves up at first grade at the minute. But Anthony, I think McCulloch's on contract next year on rather a lot of money. So was the coach sort of put in a situation where, I've got to let McCulloch go now, even though it's not going to be good, because I've got Fifita off contract who's worth so much money, and I might need McCulloch's money to help me keep Fifita. I'm going to lose him. So sometimes, as coaches and directors of football, sometimes we do make wrong decisions. Sometimes you actually don't have a choice because of the situation of where you find yourself. You know, you've seen Melbourne let some unbelievable players go over the journey, but they've done it because they had to keep Cameron Smith, or they've had to keep whatever. And again, they keep making great decisions and the coach is so good they keep going well. But it's not as easy and it's not as black and white as what people think sometimes.
I love the insight, Brownie. We're going to get to Josh Mansour next on the Saturday Scrum, thanks to King G.
Easy operation here. I just throw out some over-the-top statements, basically, and you tell me whether you believe it or not. Some of them are quite harsh.
Very believable man, Tony.
I am. I know. Trust
How
this
was the steak?
Steak was really good.
You know, day two,
I know I ate some. Day two...
Did you go outside to
it? I just snuck a little bit. Day two, it was kind of... Maybe not chewy, very tender, but maybe a little bit over. Yeah. Not over, but rather than medium rare. Ooh. By today, it's medium.
So your wife didn't do a good job.
No, I cooked it.
So you should have had the rice.
You did the cooking.
I did that cooking.
Did you smoke it?
and smoke it. Yeah. No, I
people smoke meat.
No, I cooked it on the stovetop first in pan just to see both sides browned it all up, obviously, and then straight into the oven.
Okay,
and you know, have it there for about 20 minutes.
I know is if you're bringing eye fillet to work for lunch,
yeah,
I need to get in the radio game.
Have you ever shouted lunch, Tony, for us all?
I think I might have shouted for you a couple of times when you didn't have any cash. You never had cash.
I never have cash.
Yeah.
The card.
Hey, you know what? I don't think I'll stand.
She's going to try and throw you under the bus.
You're going to either help me out here or tell a lie.
Of course.
I'm going to stand on my record.
I'm just turning to Switzerland all of a sudden.
Yeah, well done. I stand on my record as somebody who's very generous and very happy to help out. And I'm getting a bit testy now. Believe it or not, you're ready. These are the questions. The first one, the Rabbitohs are not a top eight team this season. Ryan Girdler, believe
No, I don't
not.
Believe that.
You don't?
No. I thought at the start of the year I didn't have them in my eight, to be honest. I thought they might struggle without some of the leadership. But, yeah, having a look at some of these young, talented forwards and the attitude that – and Wayne's, I think he's got them playing well at the moment with some of their best players on the sidelines. I think they'll be – I don't think they're top four this year, but I think they'll be between four and eight.
M, believe it or not, the Rabbitohs.
I don't
eight.
Believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. So they will be top eight.
If you say you don't believe it, they will be.
Rabbitohs are not. I don't believe that. They'll be top eight. Latrell Mitchell.
I'm confused.
Wait. The Rabbitohs are not. So I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Rabbitohs, because they are a top eight side.
The Rabbitohs aren't not.
The Rabbitohs are not. It says the Rabbitohs are not.
Do you think the Rabbitohs are going to make the eight this year?
The Rabbitohs will make the eight.
Okay.
There you go. Because James Roberts and Cody Walker are still to come back, and Latrell's getting better every week.
So that you don't.
I think this should be worded.
You don't believe it. Is that the
Tony,
answer?
Tony,
you don't believe
Charlie
it.
Should have worded this. Yeah. The Rabbitohs will make the eight.
Yeah, but Charlie cooks good rice.
That's all he does.
Makes a good stir fry.
Nathan Brown, what do you
makes
think?
Makes 45 bucks a weekend on top Rabbitohs. Of his wage. Good business.
I think the Rabbitohs will, like Gerds, I think the Rabbitohs will be in the eight, but the lower part of the eight.
Okay, beautiful. The Cronulla Sharks season, believe it or not, is over if they lose today.
I believe that, yeah. 0-4 in a much shorter race and in a 26, 27-round competition. It wouldn't be even an 18-round competition if you go 0-4. You're under the stick.
Okay. Em, want me to read it again?
Now I'm feeling nervous. I believe that because, again, shortened competition. They've lost Josh Morris, Bronson Sherry as well. It's going to be tough.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe that.
All right. And this, you obviously, as a former Panthers man, we talked about him earlier, how well he went last night. Matt Burton. Believe it or not, Matt Burton should be Nathan Cleary's halves partner.
I think for the time being. Second, played a couple of games last year and liked what I've seen so far this year. I think with these young guys, it doesn't hurt them to, you know, be held accountable. So they come up for a while, they play good. Yeah, there's going to be a slump. And when they do, they go back down for a little while.
I think scrimmage competition that Reed was talking about.
Yeah, I think how they're handled is quite important. And it's a different year, so it's going to be difficult for the coach to sort of, you know, have those different options around him. But between him and Lua, I think he should be next week, but I think Lua is a good player as well. And I think both of those guys will probably share that role throughout the year.
Brownie, Matt Burton to Nathan Cleary's halves partner.
I like the idea of Burton staying, and I like the idea of Jerome Luai being on the bench and coming on and playing some nine and cooking up the game.
Beautiful. M?
Yes, I agree. And Jerome Luai, back end of last year when he was coming off the bench as well at times, injected plenty of spark, so that could work with them. But again, probably they'll rotate throughout the year.
Nathan Brown, believe it or not, Josh Hodgson is now the best hooker in the game.
Outstanding player. It's obviously a competition out of him and Cameron Smith.
Damien Cook would have to be up there too, wouldn't he?
Yeah, Cookie's a good little player. They're a little bit different to Damien Cook, aren't they?
Yeah.
He's obviously very, very dynamic, and they're probably a bit more crafty than Cookie. I'm reluctant to say that Josh is a better player than Cameron, but I'd be happy with either.
Okay. Gerds, what do you reckon? Josh Hodgson is now the best hooker in the game.
If I was picking a side tomorrow to represent me in a game, I would have Cameron Smith in my team.
Hard not to, Em?
I would have Cameron Smith just because
it's a different
when the game's on
question,
the line.
But still.
Also, Gerds didn't answer it correctly.
That's all right.
But no, Gerds doesn't get in trouble.
Well, then I don't believe. I don't believe it then.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, Gerds can do no wrong. I don't believe it. Cameron Smith, particularly when the game is on the line, I'd want Cameron Smith in my side.
Okay. Can't argue with that, Em.
No, absolutely. And finally, I'm picking State of Origin a long way out here. Victor Radley will play State of Origin this year.
Oh, I love Victor Radley.
Oh, damn it. What's not to love?
But the problem with Victor Adley is that him and Cameron Murray are both outstanding players, both play the same spot. Like, but what players they both are. Kevin, either or either, but I love the way he gets off the line and hits people. Like, I was getting out of the way when I was that size, and Victor just cleans them up.
Yeah. He's brilliant, isn't
he? And his skill, like him and Cameron Murray, they're both outstanding players.
That type of player is just, and I'm not dominating, but going great. It's great to watch that kind of player these days, isn't it? They're like the old-fashioned lock, I guess.
Well, not only are they both tough and bring so much to the table individually, they both actually introduce other players to the game. They've both got wonderful skill. Yep. So it's great. You know, I think both clubs and both coaches will be making sure those two players stay at their clubs for a long, long time.
All right.
I think Victor, when he was in and around the squad last year, the Blue squad, just going to their training sessions, he seemed really good for the morale of the group. He seemed to be, you know, the jokester and the one that was, I guess, the life of the party. So I think he'd be, you know, he'd be good one to go and have a beer with too, I reckon.
All right. Is he going to play, Victor Adley, believe it or not?
Yeah, he'll be in the 17. I think Jake will be the 13. There's three just unbelievable lock forwards going around at the moment. Love Cam as well. And I think the fact that he played a lot, he spent a lot of time at dummy half last year was really good for his for his ball skills. Because I think he was good last year and we saw a little bit of it and the game probably wasn't ready for, you know, what they were doing last year around, you know, the way they played with the ball. And and like he had some good combinations with Cooper and Keary last year. But I just think, I think this year he's gone to another level.
For the balance of the team, though, I can't see if Jake's lock, how Freddie can carry him both on the bench, that's all. I don't think they're for the balance of the squad when you've got such a big, obviously, high-quality players to pick from.
Yeah. Great player, Victor Adley. Another one, Josh Mansour. Jones is next.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, and they've been king of the industry since 1926, King G, and we thank them so much for their support. Right now, what a great pleasure it is to welcome to the show who a man starred and scored for the Panthers, Josh Mansour. G'day, mate.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, thank you. Congratulations on the win and for putting the ball over the stripe. It's been a little bit too long between those visits, hasn't it?
Definitely took a while to get over the line, but I'm definitely glad to get over and finally score and break the drought.
And the team after last week, the draw, the Golden Point draw, back in sync this week.
Definitely. Last week was kind of a bit was a bit new to us. Definitely with the new rule changes, and you know, being out of the game for 2 months. So we definitely blew the cobwebs out last week, and I thought there was a lot of missed opportunities. We could have put the lights away. No disrespect to them, they really hung in there. And losing Mitchell Pearce and Connor Watson, I thought it was going to be it for him, but you know, they hung in, they defended well, and we learned a lot. We knuckled down with the Warriors this week, and we came out with a good display.
You must have been pretty impressed with how young Matt Burton handled himself, particularly given, I guess, for a young player, it might have been tough mentally to back up after that tight game in the field goals, but gee, he was great.
Yeah, he was obviously disappointed how the game turned out last week, but you know, credit to him, he really knuckled down this week. He put it all aside, and you know, he came to the Warriors with a fresh mindset, and he had a killer game for us. Two tries, a try assist. He was pretty much a man of the match for us. So yeah, he's still 19 years of age. It's crazy how much athletic ability he's got in the bank, waiting more games to come.
Hey, Sauce, tell us a little about the influence Zane Tedovano's had on the group. Gee, he looks like a guy that when he comes on, you guys get up and about. He's obviously come out of a really good system, and it looks like you guys really enjoy playing with him and what he brings.
Yeah, he's awesome. He definitely brings the intensity. He's built like a rock. He runs the ball hard, and yeah, he definitely gets all the middles revved up and ready to take the next carry after his run. So, he's been a great acquisition for the club. Coming from the Roosters, obviously had a lot of success there, and a lot of the younger guys, especially the middles coming through, I'm definitely learning a lot out of him.
Hey, Josh, had a bit of a bad run with injury for a while, mate. It looks like you're starting to get your confidence and find your way back into the form you displayed when you played Origin. You're feeling good about yourself now?
Yeah, I'm feeling great, mate. Body's feeling really good. The last couple of years have been a bit of a struggle for myself, but, you know, I've kind of hopefully put all the injuries aside and just want to keep building momentum and continue my form throughout the year. Obviously, injuries come and go. It's part of the game. I had a bit of bad luck, but just want to keep playing good footy. I'm happy. That's the most important thing, and the team's winning, so mate, I can't complain.
Nathan Cleary comes back into the side next week. How's he been over this past couple of weeks?
Yeah, he's been good. You know, he's been really training really hard, especially in our post sessions. He's really helping the other team, and I'm sure when he comes back in the squad, he'll still be fit and strong. And but it's definitely a headache for Ivan. I'm not sure who's going to pick between either Jerome or Matt Burton, but I've just got to wait and see.
It's been a couple of weeks now, Sauce, with you guys playing without fans. Are you sort of getting used to it? How's it feel?
Very strange. I won't lie to you. It's feels almost like a post session, especially at the beginning of a game. But we always, like us players, we play for the fans. But obviously, with the day and age we're in at the moment, especially with this pandemic going on, what's necessary. And hopefully, the next couple of weeks, we get some fans for the gates and put on a show for them.
Josh, have you watched any of the coverage of other games where they have the virtual crowd? Do you wish they maybe could just pump that through the speakers and at the ground for you?
There's a bit of a mixed reaction. I actually don't mind it. I think it's pretty good, especially when you're at home watching with the family and stuff. It kind of gets you in the game. And for myself, I enjoy it. And hopefully, we can get some fans in the coming weeks and get good results.
Seems to be a pretty tight group you've got there, and seem to be having a lot of fun on social media, your group as well, over the last few weeks. Lots of model shots going on the way to training. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I think it's coming from the States with the NFL and NBA players. They kind of rock up to the game all dressed up in their stylish outfits, and we thought we'd just try it ourselves, but only lasted 2 weeks, and I ran out of outfits, so thank God for that. But it was just all a bit of fun, and the Broncos boys were doing it as well, which was good to see as well.
Battle of the West next week, Sauce. Parramatta playing well this year. Looking forward to that one?
Always, mate. Always looking forward to play Parra. Our biggest rivals. We've also got a couple of ex-Panthers in our squad, which I'm sure they'll be fired up to play against us. But they're title contenders. You know, they've really set the benchmark, and we want to go out there and have a big game. I'll hopefully get a lot of confidence out of that game as well.
Are you and Gerd's both sad Arsenal fans? Is that right?
Yeah, we are. Well, we're not sad. Well, why would you say sad? We're about to kick off in a couple of weeks and make our charge to the fall.
It's been a tough few years.
It has been a tough couple of years, hasn't it? We're looking good though. I think we'll come good at the back end. I think this break's done us would have done us some favours.
How far out of the four are you?
It's the hope that kills you. It's the hope that kills you.
We are. I think we're about. What are we? About sixth at the moment.
Going a bit low. I think
we're
close. That's rich,
we're building,
Tony.
We're building.
Yeah. They're doing a lot better than the Dragons are at the moment.
Oh, that's just a drive-by. I did nothing.
You had a go at poor old Sauce and Arsenal.
Yeah, that's true.
Fair different enough, country, actually. Different code.
Exactly. Subject.
Josh Mansour, congratulations, and thanks so much for having a chat. We'll catch up soon, I'm sure.
Pleasure. Thanks, gang.
See you, bud. There is Josh Mansour joining us right here on the Saturday Scrum. We do it for King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Just a reminder on that Tyre Power scoreboard. Right now, Tyre Power, buy three, get one free on selected Falcon passenger tyres. The scoreboard 59-0, the Roosters over the Broncos. So let's once more illegally cross the border into Queensland, where Ben Dobbin awaits. It obviously can't be, but it's been a bleak moment, I guess, for Brisbane.
Oh, g'day, guys. Oh, it's funny. We dealt with this at the end of last year after Parramatta put the cleaners through them in the first semi. And then, obviously, I don't think anybody thought that it was going to happen again. Well, it has, and it's happened five games later. Now, be it a lot has changed and the landscape looks very different, but, you know, the same reaction from fans, from some members, from the media, from internally at Brisbane, it's the same sort of feeling again. And I don't know how we get out of it. I really don't at the moment.
Well, the Broncos are a club, Dobbo, aren't they, in the past that just don't go through those rebuilding phases. There's a couple of clubs like that. They're one of them. The fans aren't used to it. Are they going to accept it?
Well, they haven't accepted simply. And inside the club, they haven't accepted it. And Gerd, you know this, and a lot of people know this, that no one really expected Brisbane to win on Thursday night. They're down on troops, suspensions, injuries. And they got a young roster. But Peter Nolan, head of football, said earlier, and he said to me, it's the way they lost and the way that they defended that was disappointing for the club. You know, it wouldn't have mattered if they turned up with that attitude and they had, as good a team as anything, they would have had the same result happen. It was the attitude that that side went on to, and that's the thing that's concerning. And it's really not about the wins and losses. It's about how they played the game, and they were just so disappointing, whether or not it was their line speed, whether or not it was their carries. I mean, Payne Haas had 53 metres. I mean, this guy's run. I'm saying well done to the Roosters who contained him, but, they're not a one-man band, and they're going to have to look, because they've got Manly next Thursday. It doesn't get any easier for them, and it's going to happen quickly.
Do they get anyone back, Dobbo, the Bronx next week?
Brownie, I reckon Katoni Staggs is back. He copped that suspension, but that's it. I mean, Alex Glenn's still injured. Tavita's got it. Tavita Pangai Jr.'s got another week suspension to go. I mean, that shot on Justin O'Neill in round one, I mean, it's not what anybody wanted to see, but gee whiz, it's been costly for Brisbane because they could do with him at the moment. Fafita, round eight, they think. So they're down on troops.
And Dobbo, what about the McCulloch decision? Was that based around trying to free up cap room, or was that just a decision the club made because they were going down a different path?
Well, they've invested now with Jay Turpin, and he's clearly their number nine at the moment. And Mac is a 250-game veteran, and look, no one wanted to see him not playing or on the bench, and he wanted to play first grade. So obviously the discussion was, look, we'd like to he wanted to play there. And obviously Newcastle wanted him, but, I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing. Peter Nolan said, if they knew what was going to have happened with Turpin breaking his leg and Corey Pakes, the 18-year-old, like having to make his debut in the middle there and wearing the number nine, they wouldn't have let Macca go. But they've done that now, and now they've got to look for a solution. Yeah, I mean, Turpin is at minimum 6 weeks away, and they haven't got a backup number nine. They could play Alex Glenn there if he gets back in time, but he's at least 2 weeks away. So they're going to have to make some decisions. I don't think it's fair on Corey Pakes, 20-year-old, making his debut, to have to, as they all say, they thought he was going to play 8 to 10 games this year off the bench to start. Yeah.
It's the most demanding position in the game, along with fullback, and the young kid they play there looks like he's still got a fair bit to learn as far as playing the craft of dummy half goes as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, he's a number seven. They've turned him into a number nine, if you can do that over the off-season. So, I mean, he's got a lot to learn. So where they go to, I mean, there's a lot of talk that potentially Brodie Croft might go to the nine this week, and they've got that young Tom Dearden who made his debut last year. He might come and play seven. Do they shift Oates into the edge and play him as a back rower this week and bring Xavier Coates into the side? This is where they're at the moment, and it's been an issue for them because they've never been this light on troops, and they're investing in youth, and they have got talented guys, and people need to believe, if they can hold on, they're going to be a good team. They're going to be a good team, but gee whiz, they're in a rut at the moment.
And then Ben Teo, is he playing from next week?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, this is the worst kept secret in the NRL, that he was going to come there. And as soon as Macca was freed up, they had a spot in the 30-man, and the Sunwolves had to let him, obviously, release him. But he thinks he's 2 to 3 weeks away. But he did say if Siebes wants him to play, he'll play. Now, I don't know, 6 years out of the game, I mean, I know he's been playing rugby union, but the game's never been more demanding, has it? Like now, with the new rule changes, to not have a pre-season, to have not played, are you really risking injury? Are you risking, him being shown up? I mean, he's a hell of a footballer. If you can just give him a couple more weeks, but they just, look, there's every chance he could have to start off the bench. I don't think it'll happen, but he could come off the bench against Manly, but I think we're more likely the week after that you'll see him.
Dobbo, you mentioned Peter Nolan's name. He wasn't happy with the notion that the players didn't speak to the media post-game.
Yeah, not as unhappy as what Peter Volandis was, Tony. he absolutely savaged and rang. He was filthy on this one. And look, I've got to be fair. I was there when this all played out. Anthony Seibold came in, took his medicine. Fair enough. Now, at the moment, we're all dirty and they're all clean at the moment. So, yeah, as the rules is, there needs to be three players come in. Now, the Roosters, obviously, they got out of there. We haven't had in Brisbane, we haven't had a winning team player come in. That's fair enough. But everyone who wanted to talk to the Broncos, still telling the media manager, who's actually not in the bubble at the moment, made countless attempts to try and get them. But, look, I mean, after that loss, no player put his hand up to come there. I think it speaks volumes, of where that's at the moment. And, obviously, the club was super disappointed about it. But Peter Volandis rang the chairman, Carl Morris, and said, listen, we took so long to get this rights deal and broadcast deal, and part of it was this. There's no way I'm going to have your club in any, or any club, destroy it. And look, it was a really disappointing moment. I don't think anybody was going to humiliate the players, but they needed to get a comment from them. And it was a real, to me, it was a real time where a Darius Boyd or a Matt Lodge or one of those leaders or the captains come forth and they sit there. But you got to remember, one of the captains in Pat Carrigan, he's played 20 NRL games and he's captaining the Broncos. So, I mean, you can't expect him to be the leader we all want him to be yet, because he just hasn't had the experience. He'll probably get there, but he just hasn't had it. Brady Croft was the other coach.
And Siebes handled himself very well, didn't he, under some difficult circumstances. The coach did really well, you know.
Really well. Yeah, I don't think he didn't sugarcoat it at all, and neither did Peter Nolan, to be fair. They've all taken their medicine, and it's tough. You know, this is it's a grind, but, you know, in every instance, they get Fifita back, they get Tevita Pangai Jr., they've got Teo coming off the bench, Katoni Staggs is there. They start to get a bit of consistency. You know, Lodge makes it back into the starting side. They got a good football team. It just didn't go well for them on Thursday night.
No, indeed, to the tune of 59 blot. Dobbo, record, as ever.
Yes. A record. A ground record. It was a ground record for the Broncos.
Love it. Dobbo, always good to talk to you. Catch up soon, buddy.
See you, guys.
Bye.
There is Ben Dobbin in Brisbane. We'll come back, wrap it up on the Saturday Scrum. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. Nathan Brown is with us, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Gerler. My name is Tony Squires. It's been a lovely pleasure to spend the afternoon with you. We want to get now to the games that are going to be played today. The Eels Seagulls, 5:30 at Bankwest Stadium. That's got to be the match of the round, hasn't it? Two teams that are playing some great footy. Both were impressive last weekend. Tommy Trbojevic, as you mentioned, Gerds was flying. What do you like about this game? Everything?
Yeah, look, I think we're going to get a real good yardstick of where the Eels are. They've started the season well. We get that. They played the Dogs first, and they had a good win over the Titans. They had a really good win last week against the Broncos. But they're going to come up against a side today where they're going to meet a fair bit of resistance. And it's going to be interesting to see how they respond, because in the past, when times to get tough, you know, sometimes the Eels have lacked in that area, especially when it's got big games at the back end of the season. So I like the way Manly go about their business. They're no nonsense. They've got a brilliant pack. And they're a smart footy side. And I think they'll test Parramatta today. And I'm looking forward to seeing how Parramatta respond.
Clint Gutherson there, of course, living over in the Manly area, was a junior there, playing, still hangs out with the boys a bit.
He does. He's good friends with them all, lives over there. He said he won't leave, loves it near the beach. I'm going with Manly today, though. I agree, biggest test the Eels have had so far, but Manly are pretty close to full strength, so I've got my money on Manly.
What do you think?
I think, obviously, Parramatta's playing some good footy, had a good start. I lean towards Manly. I think the two Trbojeviches and Daly Cherry-Evans are, if you look at the best 12 players in the world, I think they've got three of them.
Well, that's a good stat. That's a good stat.
They've got three of the most influential players that play the game, and they get the ball a lot, and they're damn good players. And any time they're on the front foot, they can beat anyone.
Were you at all surprised that when Desi Hasler came back, that success came with him?
Not at all. I mean, you look at, as a coach, Des, you know, I rate Des as one of the best coaches in the game today. He had Manly. They made four grand finals in 10 or 11 years. He went to Canterbury. They made a couple of grand finals straight away. And then, obviously, with whatever happened with the cap, but the roster wasn't right then, was it? Mick Innes had gone to Cronulla. Ben Barber had been, obviously, sacked. Ben Barber and Mick Innes went to Cronulla. Cronulla won the comp. It just shows you that if a coach of Des's ability has the wrong players, things don't end well. He went back to Manly. Credit to Baz and Bozo. They, you know, brought Adam Fanua Blake in, made a couple of good recruitment decisions. As Manly do, every decade, Manly somehow managed, got a small junior league. They managed to produce two or three champions every 10 years, the two Trbojeviches and Daly Cherry-Evans. Yeah, that does not surprise me one bit.
The Eels, I mean, they're playing at Bankwest and they get to play there a lot. No crowd in there at the moment. But is that an advantage if it's a place where you kind of feel comfortable? It is your home ground.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, it's just all about, you know, going through that ritual you do on game day, you know, driving to the game, it's easy. And then going to the knowing, being familiar with the change rooms and all those things are just a little, they're not massive, but they're little benefits.
Playing against your old club, another thing that can be difficult, Valentine Holmes. Now, the way he left the Sharks, of course, went overseas, tried it out in the NFL. He's back playing for North Queensland Cowboys. How do you see that one going, Brownie?
I like Cronulla in this game. I think the Sharks can win. you know, the Sharks in the first two rounds, they only just got beat by 2 points by, I think it was South Sydney and Melbourne, two sides who were all expecting to be somewhere in the eight. You know, Melbourne probably in the top four and South, for me, in the bottom part of the eight. Last week they went down again, but they got some damn good football players from all their recruitment strategy, which obviously Shane Flanagan that put in place there, and Johnny Morris has been a part of that, is I like the way they go about their business. Got some really good footballers, and I'm not sure North Queensland have beat anybody yet that's going to be real challenging, and Tor Malolo out's a huge out for me, a huge out.
What do you think, Gerds? I like the Cowboys. Yeah, I didn't like sort of the way I thought that they really struggled last week for cohesion, the Sharks. Without Wade Graham, they probably get beaten even more convincingly. I think Val is the kind of guy that after a couple of weeks back will really thrive on playing his old club. And, yeah, obviously no Morgan, no Tomalolo, big task. But I think they've just got a little bit too much momentum at the moment, and I think that counts at this time of year, and I think they'll win.
5 seconds, Em.
Okay, I'm going to go Cowboys, just.
That was less than 5 seconds.
Nathan Brown, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. Thanks to the good people at King G. Go the Dragons on Monday. Triple M rocks the...
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.